Welcome to Talk Nation Radio and more of our election coverage 2008. I'm Dori Smith.
Every time an election comes up, we see these charges, and every time you look at them, there is nothing but, you know, smoke and mirrors there.
I'm here with Brad Friedman of BradBlog, bradblog.com, and we're fact-checking a conference call held by the McCain campaign October 10th, in which Missouri Governor Matt Blunt and McCain campaign manager Rick Davis lashed out at the grassroots organization Acorn again. Acorn operates on behalf of low and moderate income people nationally, doing voter registration and legislative advocacy. The press conference was only the latest in a barrage of attacks launched by the McCain campaign and Republican surrogates. Here are some of the allegations from Governor Matt Blunt.
In 2003, out of 5,379 voter registration cards, only 2,013 of those appeared to be valid, and at least 1,000 were believed to be attempts to register voters illegally. So Acorn has a record in our state of trying to commit registration fraud, and the only reason to commit registration fraud is to have voter fraud on Election Day. The only reason to commit registration fraud is to then commit voting fraud on Election Day, which obviously robs people who are playing by the rules and trying to cast their ballots according to the rules that we've set for elections. Unfortunately, the Obama campaign is not taking this seriously in my state. Their campaign head in Missouri, Senator Claire McCaskill, has acted as if this was a trivial affair. She said it's not a huge problem and that voter registration fraud shouldn't be all that great of a concern. To her and to others, I would again say the only reason to systematically commit registration fraud is to commit voting fraud.
Once again, what you're listening to here is Missouri Governor Matt Blunt making accusations about Acorn. I should point out that we're going to be hearing some of the questions that were asked by reporters during the press conference call, and we'll hear from various people who basically weren't buying this. Let's hear more of what Governor Matt Blunt had to say.
I would be very angry and concerned if all this was confined to Missouri. Unfortunately, it's not. There are states, battleground states across the country where systematic attempts by Acorn are undermining the credibility of the election process. They admit, for example, that they've had a case of voter fraud in Seminole County, Florida. In Clark County, Acorn allegedly submits 2,000 to 3,000 fraudulent applications each week.
Now, the Obama and Biden campaign sent out a one-paragraph response. They say the conference call was another effort by the McCain campaign to throw out false charges and turn the page from issues that matter to American families. They're also saying the allegations about Senator Obama are completely transparent and false, saying, quote, he believes that the registration of voters at record levels is good for our democracy. And the McCain-Palin campaign's false claims are nothing more than another dishonorable, shameful attempt to divert voters' attentions from the unprecedented challenges facing their families and our nation. For the record, Senator Claire McCaskill did challenge Republicans to prove voting fraud, telling reporters, quote, there has been no fraudulent voting. The people who claim this is a huge problem can never produce any instances where anyone voted fraudulently. Now, they have registered fraudulently, she added. Quote, anyone who is registering someone who is not a real person should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Joining us now to help further debunk this press conference and allegations about Acorn and Barack Obama is Brad Friedman of BradBlog, bradblog.com. Brad, why don't we start with the latest report on your website?
Sure, and I'll be happy to debunk all of it, if you like. Fact of the matter is, this GOP Acorn quote-unquote voter fraud scam is exactly that. It's a scam. It's a desperate tactic here try to first tie Barack Obama to Acorn, try to suggest Obama is going to steal the election, and largely to keep legal voters from being able to cast their vote, to suppress their vote, to challenge them at the polls, which is going to keep people from being able to cast their vote at all, and then to have grounds after the election to challenge the results anywhere they like. Now, what you won't hear from either the GOP or, unfortunately, much of the media that is out there reporting on this is the fact that Acorn actually authenticates every single registration form that they receive from their employees. They call the phone numbers on it to authenticate it, and they do other such things. When they can't do that, they flag those registration forms as potentially fraudulent or problematic. For example, if they're incomplete, if they don't have a phone number, if the name is something like Donald Duck, as you'll hear the Republicans talking about, they flag those as problematic, but then they turn them in to elections officials because by law, they must turn them in. They notify election officials about these problem registration forms. They are the ones who are actually rooting out the fraud in the first place. And then the thanks they get is these cynical election officials, often Republicans, who then run to the media and say, hey, Acorn has just turned in thousands of fraudulent registration forms. They're committing voter fraud. It's complete and utter nonsense because it is Acorn in the first place who is investigating the fraud and trying to turn in the forms that they have concerns about and turn in the employees that they have concerns about who have committed this registration fraud. And it's not voter fraud, by the way. As far as I know, there's no record of Donald Duck actually voting. It is registration fraud, however. It is a problem. And Acorn, who I am not associated with, but I've been following this topic for years, Acorn is actually on the front lines of trying to root out this type of fraud.
Brad, you have a story that mentions one of the U.S. attorneys who says he was pressured to investigate Acorn, right?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them. I mean, this has been the scam. The most famous example, I suppose, is David Iglesias down in New Mexico. He was one of the attorneys who was fired in the U.S. attorney purge, and it was because he would not bring charges of voter fraud against these thousands of cases that the Republicans were claiming were fraudulent, were voter fraud cases. He looked at them, and remember, he was a Republican, assigned by the Bush administration as a U.S. attorney. He looked at thousands of cases and said, there is nothing here. As a matter of fact, the only case that they were able to find that seemed to be any actual real fraud was a case of a teenager who was too young to vote who had filled out a registration form as a joke. And I think he was a 16 or 17-year-old kid. Voter fraud is extraordinarily rare, particularly at the polls. And yet, you've got these Republicans right now who are running around trying to institute photo ID restrictions at the polling place and, other such rules that would keep anywhere from 20 to 30 million Americans, by the League of Women Voters' own numbers, keep them from voting because they don't have a driver's license. Make no mistake, this is a Republican war on democracy, period. And I've written about this at The Guardian, the UK's Guardian, and certainly at bradblog.com. They are trying to keep people from voting, period. And Acorn is one of their top enemies because, in fact, Acorn has successfully registered millions of low-income, low- and middle-income voters that very few, if anybody, are willing to actually go out and register to vote. Acorn is, and that's why they're on the chopping block for Republicans who are seeing defeat coming this November, unless they can fool America again.
Now, Brad, I was trying to get a question in during a conference call with the McCain campaign earlier, and they didn't have time to get to me. But one of the things that I wanted to ask about, we saw Hugh Hewitt on Larry King Live on the 9th. Mm-hmm. And quoting Hugh Hewitt now, he's host of his own talk show. And he said, Acorn is at the heart of the financial crisis. Now, we've written to the McCain campaign, too, to ask them to please explain in what way Acorn is at the heart of the financial crisis. But can you just comment on this? They had their own guy, Hugh Hewitt, and I say their own guy because he, as it turns out, was the only reporter recently to have the opportunity to interview Sarah Palin, the governor from Alaska. So, I found it kind of interesting that he was also the guy who went on Larry King Live to talk about Bill Ayers and now Acorn.
Hugh Hewitt is one of their top voter fraud capos, basically. He's been out there on the airwaves. I was on a panel with him last summer, and challenged him, anytime, anywhere, I will be happy to show up on his show or any other to debate him, because he's been putting out this Acorn stalking horse as well. I don't think he could even tell you how somehow Acorn is behind this mess. I mean, I know what they're implying, because Acorn has been, you know, helpful in guiding folks towards Fannie and Freddie Mae. They help low and middle income citizens basically buy houses and so forth. But this is all about the election. It's all about electoral politics. Every 2 years, this stuff comes up. They start beating up on Acorn. Back in 2006, the U.S. Justice Department in Missouri brought cases against their own written guidelines, brought cases 3 days before the 2006 election in Missouri, voter fraud cases against some Acorn workers to try to affect that very close election. It was a Senate election in Missouri. Back in 2004, just days before the November presidential election, Michelle Malkin actually was out there saying that Acorn was registering terrorists in Ohio. Completely false. There was, in fact, a terrorist who did register to vote, but he went to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and signed up himself to vote. Acorn had nothing to do with it. So it's just a scam. Anytime they can say Acorn, they know that the Democrats are so pathetic and flat-footed on this stuff, they won't fight back and, you know, tell the truth about what's going on here, because they're scared to death of, well, everything. They know they can get away with it. So, you know, they haul out Hugh Hewitt to spout his nonsense, and he knows it's nonsense, but they want to give the impression otherwise, and the mainstream media eats it up.
Brad, what about these claims having to do with the battleground states and, you know, Acorn's role there? The implication's pretty clear that the Republicans are saying the Democrats will steal the next election through Acorn.
Yeah, ask them to prove it. If you look case by case, they've made charges, for example, in Indiana against some Acorn workers. Fact of the matter is, Acorn was working with the authorities. They had concerns about a number of their employees. Last summer, they actually suspended their registration activities until they could work out more safeguards, and they supplied information on those employees months ago to the officials. Same thing happened in Missouri, where we're now hearing just yesterday, of course, that hundreds of fraudulent registration forms have been turned in Jackson County, Missouri. That's Kansas City. Problem is, Acorn hasn't done any registration in Missouri since last August. So anything they turned in was months ago. And the fact that suddenly today you've got this Charlene Davis, a Republican election director in Jackson County, coming out and claiming, oh, we're just getting buried with hundreds of fraudulent forms from Acorn, is utter nonsense. Remember, Charlene Davis in Jackson County, Missouri, is the very same person who was instrumental in the arrest of a voter in their primary just a few weeks ago, a voter who showed up and was asked illegally for a photo ID, and this was an election integrity activist, so he knew the laws here, and he even checked them first. He went in, he presented them with the voter ID card that had been sent to him by the county. He said, no, I don't have to give you a photo ID. I can give you this voter ID card that you guys sent me. And his thanks eventually was that he was arrested at the polling place. Charlene Davis was one of the democracy haters who was behind that. She's the election director in Jackson County, Missouri. So if you look case by case at each of these allegations, you'll see they're utter nonsense. In Ohio, as far as I know, there is absolutely no evidence of voter fraud going on. They have made allegations. I have seen no actual evidence of this. And at the same time, the real concerns about election fraud, not voter fraud, are being completely overshadowed. New York Times yesterday ran a remarkable story, an investigation of dozens of states showing that tens of thousands of voters are being illegally purged from the voter rolls. Now, if you want a real concern about this month's election, and by the way, they're using the cover of federal law to do it, but they are purposely misinterpreting that law in order to purge voters faster than they can even be signed up to be registered. So if you want to look at real concerns about election fraud, they are there. They are there in the voting rolls, in the purges, in the voting machines that do not work, that do not count votes accurately. that drop votes, that can be flipped by a single person. Those are the real concerns, and they're completely being obfuscated, I would argue purposely, by these phony claims by the GOP of voter fraud and using Target Acorn here.
Let's continue on now with this press conference of October 10th, 2008. This is John McCain's campaign manager, Rick Davis. The very first question he was asked related to how the McCain campaign was actually doing in the battleground states that Missouri's governor had alleged Acorn was trying to help the Obama campaign steal.
All the states that Governor Blunt was talking about as far as battleground states, Colorado, Florida, Michigan, Indiana, Missouri, Nevada, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Wisconsin all have serious problems related to Acorn's activities. And to be honest, I'd rather focus most of my comments today specific to the Acorn controversy and scandal. But I'm happy to say that one of the things that we're doing this call for is to make sure that all of your attention are drawn to this so that none of those battleground states are stolen from the McCain campaign as Acorn works in league with other organizations like the Obama campaign in this election.
Here now the next question for the McCain campaign, and it came from Lynn Sweet of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Since Acorn basically works in areas where there are a lot of Democratic voters, isn't the real beef here that they're signing up voters who are likely to vote Democrat, and isn't that really what the heart of this concern is on your part?
Well, I just think that's incredibly naive, considering the amount of evidence that is piled up one on top of the other about their illegal activities. I mean, look, if they were just registering people, I don't think anybody would have a beef with them. In fact, hundreds of organizations register people every day, both organizations that like to register people in suburbs and those who like to register people in inner cities. And you never, ever hear an organization that has the kind of widespread fraud that's involved with Acorn. And it's not just this year. It was in 2006, as Governor Blunt mentioned. It's been before that in the 1990s. And it is literally haunted this organization for its entire existence. And so, I commend organizations that go out and register voters. We are actively involved as a campaign in registering voters. We think that it's the greatest participation that anybody could have. John McCain has said many, many times on the campaign stump, both now and throughout his career, that the most important thing to do is participate in elections, and you can only do that if you're registered. And he doesn't really even care who you vote for. It just wants more participation. And we do stand at the precipice of an election that could attract a historic level of people participating. We think that's a great thing. But the idea that, what we've just laid out shouldn't raise the hackles of any discerning individual who would look at this as an attempt to manipulate elections in these states is naive. And I think that's why we're having this conversation.
He swept all the battleground states in there, Brad. Mm-hmm. And he said, in Connecticut, we have a 7-year-old, Connecticut's not a battleground state, but he said, in Connecticut, we have a 7-year-old registered to vote by Acorn. Mm-hmm. Now, that's still under investigation by Connecticut's Election Enforcement Commission. No one really knows what happened. Acorn's looking into it, and so is the state of Connecticut. It is a Republican who has brought that complaint. In Wisconsin, Rick Davis claiming there have been 1,400 fraudulent registrations by Acorn. In Milwaukee, he's claiming 49. Mm-hmm. And in Indiana, he says 50% of the voters registered by Acorn were fraudulent. And he says they apparently pulled names from a phone book, and then he offered to go on. What about this?
Let me see if I can hit those one at a time. One, this 7-year-old in Connecticut, has this 7-year-old voted in Connecticut?
Not actually, no. Someone evidently saw the problem.
Was this 7-year-old, in fact, registered by Acorn? Then how do they know that the 7-year-old registration occurred? Was it because some Acorn employee put that name down and then Acorn themselves turned in the fraud? As you see, you can't answer these questions after being on that phone call because it's nothing but smoke. And, the fact is, let's find out. Did the 7-year-old actually vote? Did the 7-year-old actually get registered by Acorn? And who actually highlighted the fact that a 7-year-old was registered or was trying to register to vote? Those are all the real questions that you'd face if you were in a court of law versus a desperate court of public opinion, which is what the GOP is trying to take advantage of. In Indiana, I would urge you to talk to the Acorn Midwestern directors specifically about that. I've spoken to them. I don't have the quotes in front of me here, but they talk exactly about the months that have gone by since they turned in these registrations, since they themselves flagged them as fraudulent, let election officials know about concerns that they had about folks who they had hired who seemed to be committing fraud. You know, every time an election comes up, we see these charges, and every time you look at them, there is nothing but, you know, smoke and mirrors there. When you've got a case of an employee who works for Acorn, when they find something amiss, they are the ones who alert authorities and try to do something about it to help root out the fraud. The Republican Party has no interest in telling that to you or the media, because their propaganda campaign right now is to cause havoc and confusion in state after state after state, and they are doing that rather well.
Let's turn back once again to the press conference. Here, Fox News' Jim Angle asks a question of Rick Davis.
Hey, Rick, what can you tell us about the situation in Ohio and the judge's decision, what you believe is going on there, and the Secretary of State's filing an appeal? It's not entirely clear what she is arguing, but what do you know about the situation in Ohio?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I think it goes well beyond just this lawsuit. First of all, for those of you who don't know, Secretary of State Bruner has single-handedly, I think, mangled the election laws in Ohio in a way that is incredible. As a lot of you know, after reporting over the last 2 weeks, the situation in Ohio that they had a confluence of same-day registration, early voting, and voter registration for a short period of time. The Obama campaign had established that was going to be a significant event in their victory path to winning the state of Ohio. Had advertisements on television and radio. Hired hundreds of hired many buses. I don't know if it's hundreds. To transport people to the polls. There were reports in the press of vote fraud at the time. And what Secretary of State Bruner had done was created a hole in the election process, unlike any other in any other 50 states, to jam as many votes through as they could. We were surprised as a campaign to see that, frankly, so little people took advantage of that voting opportunity. But we weren't disappointed, primarily because one of the questions we'd asked Secretary of State Bruner was whether or not we could have poll watchers at the locations where people could walk in and vote that day or for that week that it was going on. She denied access to independent poll watchers to do that, something that is standard operating procedure in every state of the country on Election Day. And for 6 days, we had Election Day in Ohio. And in fact, we're aware that many of these poll watchers who did try to show up were either asked to move out of there or were removed from the polling places, so no one could see the kind of activities that were taking place. As it relates to this current legal action, it's pretty clear that as a part of the HOVA administration, that many of the states are in the process of matching their voter files to records such as Social Security numbers and driver's licenses. Secretary of State Bruner has said, and part of the controversy, that she'll do the match, but she will not distribute the results of that match to the counties that are affected by those lists that are changing. I honestly don't know what her rationale is, and she, from what I can tell, has refused to give one. Is why you wouldn't update a county registrar with information that may indicate that there are people on your list who shouldn't be on it, or that there are people missing from the list. It is dumbfounding to me to explain her actions in this case, in the decision she made to not allow poll watchers in the same-day registration voting fiasco, and in a couple of other instances, things that we believe have been raising questionable actions on her part. None of which, I think, are helpful to the electoral process. So, Jim, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't give you sort of the blow-by-blow on the legal analysis of what happens next, but I think it's a serious question of how she's administering this election in her state.
And let me add very quickly on that to the idea that you would not allow poll watchers anywhere ballots are being cast and then ultimately sealed up to be counted at a later time. Really is abhorrent and undermines the confidence that people in both political parties, all Americans, should have in the election process. In Missouri, as Secretary of State and now as governor, I am calling, aggressively calling on both of the major political parties to take advantage of every opportunity they have under the law to watch over the process. And that's how you have a process that, a result that people can have confidence in and believe really expresses the will of the American people.
You know, and just to bring it all back, it was shocking to us that Barack Obama said that he was glad the Democrats were in charge of the machines in Ohio, because one of the controversies that exists is in Cuyahoga County, Acorn has said publicly that they can't control voter fraud in that area, and that one of the things that has been happening is that even though the rules require people who are not checked out on the voter list to vote with a provisional ballot, people inside of Ohio working for Bruner insisted on having them vote on machines. Now, the reason you have a provisional ballot is so that if there is a controversy and the name isn't on the right list, or that the voter isn't duly registered in the proper way, or the voter just happens to be from another state, you have the chance then to pull those ballots out before they're cast and read on Election Day. But once you vote on a machine, it's a vote that can't be challenged. And many of you have reported in the past on the problem with voting machines and the fact that you can't go back and track down any kind of aberrant voting behavior. Nobody disagrees with using provisional ballots as a means of being able to double check. When there are problems at the polling place, that is why they are there. Why in Ohio they've chosen not to do that also raises the specter of whether or not there's vote fraud. And, of course, Barack Obama is more than happy that the Democrats in that state are in charge of those machines.
Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, bradblog.com. I'm sorry we haven't been able to get the audio of this Q&A up fast enough for you to actually be hearing this, as listeners can by this time, in time to comment directly on exactly what they're saying. But just let me sort of reiterate what Rick Davis has said here to Fox. Essentially, what he's talking about is a case in Ohio where they were talking about a refusal by the Secretary of State to allow election observers. Can you comment on that case?
Well, I can't comment on what they were specifically asking for on this observer nonsense. What I do understand is that the sheriff of Greene County, a Republican in a Democratic-leaning district, or one at least that is, as AP reported today, rich in Democratic-leaning college students, that sheriff has asked for records on who has voted early voting and early registrations. Now, the election officials there have said the sheriff is more than welcome to make a public records request, and they can give them that information under public records requests like anybody else. Apparently, they've got no evidence of any form of fraud, as far as I've been able to tell. They have just concerns. As a matter of fact, the sheriff apparently even said that the reason he's making this request is because he's received so many phone calls demanding that he do so, alleging fraud. As far as I know, there is absolutely no evidence thereof. But this is a publicity propaganda game. This is not a rule of law game, at least for these Republicans who are waging this war on voting.
Now, in Ohio, though, the Secretary of State having to go through an extreme amount of effort to investigate the Diebold voting machines, to look into whether or not fraud could be committed using the voting machines themselves, mm-hmm. and then to sort of rework the entire electoral process there in order to try to correct for problems that came up between 2004 and 2006 that were clearly well documented. Just comment finally on Ohio's troubled elections and what it means now that the Secretary of the State there, who's worked very hard, has now found herself under attack, both by the McCain campaign and now by the governor of Missouri.
Well, look, it's no accident. I mean, Ohio is an unbelievable snake pit of politics, both Republican and Democrat. But
The Republicans in that state have been unapologetically anti-voter for years. And I just sat down with a long and rather detailed exclusive interview with Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner, parts of which I posted over at Alternet a week or two ago, and then this week on some of these specific voting machine issues at Computer World, where I ran a report on that. And she talks about the fact that, you know, she did this landmark testing of e-voting after she came into office, and she said to me, Brad, when I saw that report, I wanted to throw up. She was so troubled by what she saw. You know, she looked, and I would invite anyone to look at the report. Search Everest is the acronym for this report in Ohio. Take a look at what she found. And what their report didn't even find, but the state of Ohio found more recently, was the fact that Ohio's machines, Diebold machines in Ohio and 34 other states, including Connecticut, drop votes when they're uploaded to the main tabulator by the thousands. And to make matters worse, when they drop votes, they don't tell the system administrator. The system says everything went through just fine. So there's no way to know that they actually dropped those votes. Now, Diebold was originally blaming antivirus software on this, and I talked to Brunner about it. Brunner actually worked with the antivirus company, which was McAfee. They disabled, they removed the McAfee virus software, and the problem still happened, so that eventually she had to sue Diebold, and Diebold had eventually to admit that, yes, their tabulators actually dropped votes by the thousands, and that's on touchscreen and paper ballot systems, just like those that are used in Connecticut, I'm sorry to say, and 34 other states. So, you know, she has been, she has taken this on quite directly. She's faced a lot of blowback from elections officials and Republicans out there. She recommended everyone get rid of touchscreen voting systems, but the election officials and the Republicans love them, and including Democrats, by the way. Some Democrats love them as well. So they, unfortunately, will still be using those in many places in Ohio. The good news is she has issued a directive that any voter in Ohio who wants to vote on paper, on a paper ballot, hand-marked, may do so this year. So that's the good news, and I'll tell you, I feel a lot more comfortable, at least, even though she's made a few mistakes herself, I certainly feel a lot more comfortable with her overseeing this year's election than I did Ken Blackwell in 2004. I realize that's not saying much, but it's good to have someone there who is actually looking out for the voters for a change, especially this year when I suspect we are going to see a meltdown at the polls that will make 2004 look like a tea party, frankly.
Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, bradblog.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always my pleasure, Dory. Thanks for all you do.
You're listening to Talk Nation Radio election coverage. I'm Dory Smith. The McCain campaign held a press conference October 10th, alleging voter registration fraud. They indicated that ACORN, the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, was a danger in all battleground states. The New York Times was quick to publicize their allegations in a story published Friday evening at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. Now, we've been able to reach Austin King. He's with ACORN's national headquarters based in New Orleans. And before we turn to him, though, I want to air just one more clip of Matt Blunt. He's Missouri's governor, speaking during a press conference about Barack Obama's longstanding ties, he said, to ACORN.
He's acted as their lawyer. He has taught classes to ACORN's liberal community organizers. He led their voter registration efforts in the past. In 1993, he acted as their lawyer in a lawsuit against the state of Illinois.
Austin King, what about these claims by Missouri's Governor Blunt that Barack Obama trained, organized, and was legal counsel for ACORN? Can you fill us in on the history now?
I'd be happy to. The Chicago ACORN chapter has a very rich history of organizing in the city of Chicago, and many elected officials in the Chicago area, we've had projects that we've done with them. And Barack Obama obviously was a particularly skilled politician. He had a background in community organizing, although not with Acorn, despite what the McCain campaign has implied. Certainly, we would have been proud to have had him as an organizer. It seems as though he did a very good job when he was a community organizer. But at some point when he was a state senator, our head organizer in Chicago had invited him to do a training once for our member leaders who were very active on civic issues, just basically to get an idea of how government works. And as a former elected official, I was the city council president in Madison, Wisconsin. I used to do these kinds of trainings all the time where I'd go out into the community and meet with community members and try to shed some light on how city government actually works, how it could work better for them. And that was, I think it was one training incident that ever happened. And the McCain campaign is seeming to imply that somehow Barack Obama was on our payroll and was designing all of our education campaigns or something along those lines. Basically, the entire series of allegations they've made about Obama's connection with Acorn are exaggerated and meant to make it appear that we have this incredibly close relationship. In fact, there have been many times in which we have wished that we had a closer relationship, as Senator Obama has not exactly towed our line on a number of important policy initiatives. The point is that this is an effort in October of a losing campaign to try to make a last-ditch vote effort to rile up their base, and it's not going to work because the media are reporting the facts.
And what about Governor Blunt's claim that Barack Obama was Acorn's attorney?
It is true that the law firm for which Barack Obama was an employee in 1992 represented Acorn in a civil rights case against the state of Illinois, alleging that the state had failed to enforce the Motor Voter Act, which requires the state to make voter registration available at public areas like the DMV. And in fact, Barack Obama, at the time a young lawyer, was an excellent litigator in this case and actually prevailed and was awarded legal distinction for his work on the case. And I think it's something that both Senator Obama is very proud of and Acorn is very proud of.
So it's not as if Barack Obama has been training Acorn workers in how to steal the election, particularly in the battleground states then?
No, that's certainly not the case. In fact, Acorn has been training deployed how to avoid fraud, how to detect fraud, and how to root it out. Generally, when we're talking about this voter registration fraud that the Republicans keep screaming bloody murder about, what it is it's an employee of Acorn's who, instead of doing the hard work of getting out in the Nevada 120-degree summer heat and finding voters that are not registered, that could be registered, they'll try to cut corners by filling out some fake cards themselves. And we make them sign affidavits saying they won't do that. When we find them doing that, we fire them. Yet, under state law, we're still required to turn those cards in because they are legal documents that have a signature on them. However, we turn them in a separate pile that's clearly marked and flagged as problematic, and we fully cooperate with every investigation into those cards. We, in fact, encourage investigations into those employees that have defrauded Acorn by not doing the work that they were paid to do. And so we have been 100% against fraud. We've been rooting out fraud and fighting it. And yet, the reason that there's a target on our back is not that a couple of bad employees have done some corner cutting and we've caught them. It's that we've registered 1.3 million new voters, 65% of whom are voters of color, a lot of whom are young voters. And frankly, there are powerful forces in America that are very upset that there are 1.3 million new voters on the rolls, particularly in some swing states, but that might change the outcome of the election. And that's why there's a target on Acorn's back, not because of a couple of bad employees that have submitted some fake cards and we've caught them.
I understand that there was a case in Florida in 2004, and there was a minimum wage increase on the ballot there. Acorn organizing, getting signatures, trying to get registered voters to come out and support this minimum wage. And so evidently there was a case then too where Acorn was charged with some form of fraud involved in this. And the case was dismissed, right? And I think with prejudice. Can you tell us anything about that case?
The Florida case, and there are actually many cases like this, involved some trumped-up allegations on the eve of an election that, of course, after the election and further into the newspaper, not on the front page, are found to lack merit. And in fact, this is what the entire U.S. attorney scandal was about under former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. He and Karl Rove and the Bush administration generally were putting an inordinate amount of pressure on appointees, the U.S. attorneys, who are supposed to be apolitical and it's supposed to be a very depoliticized department, but instead they were attempting to politicize it by having the DOJ file trumped-up charges against Democratic elected officials and against Acorn for supposed voter fraud. And David Iglesias, the U.S. attorney for New Mexico, has just written a book about his travails and his fight against the Bush administration called Injustice, in which he documents the incredible pressure that was placed on him to file trumped-up charges against Acorn in the 2006 election cycle, and he refused to because he had too much dignity, and he knew that there was no really systemic effort to defraud the electorate on behalf of Acorn, and in fact it was a couple of rogue employees that had not done the work that they were paid to do, and they should be prosecuted under the full extent of the law, and were, but that there was no, you know, conspiracy here as alleged by the McCain campaign and Karl Rove. And so this is in very many ways a redux of what we've seen in 2006 and 2004 and what had grasped the nation's attention as a major scandal, the politicization of the Justice Department. And unfortunately, we're seeing the same Republican handbook come out again in 2008. And it usually happens in October when they're losing.
You're saying that they're talking about old cases, but there isn't time as of, let's say, October, for Acorn and for journalists to sort of investigate and provide the kind of details that would fully debunk these stories?
Well, no, there is. It's just that usually the process of a formal governmental legal acquittal or, you know, declaration of innocence or no declaration of wrongdoing, that usually takes several months for that formal process to work out. So if there's a raid on your office, as there was in Nevada this last week, a raid which came out of left field after we had been fully cooperating with the state's investigation into bad voter cards that we had requested after turning in those bad cards, separately marked and flagged as problematic. These kind of things really, I mean, frankly, it hits the spirit of why you do voter registration campaigns. We do this in order to empower and enfranchise communities that have been traditionally disenfranchised in this country. And a lot of these election Eve October surprises, frankly, are designed to suppress turnout, to make people afraid that their voter registration didn't count. You know, there are flyers passed out in minority neighborhoods saying if you have a warrant out or if you have outstanding parking tickets, you should be, you know, clear those before you show up at the polls. These are clearly efforts designed to suppress minority turnout and to steal the election for Republicans. And we know that it's been working, you know, these efforts, frankly, have been going on for 150 years, ever since the end of the Civil War. The poll taxes have evolved into much more sophisticated methods that include all of these types of efforts that we see today.
Austin King, you're with Acorn's national office, but the headquarters, I understand, is in New Orleans. Is that right?
That's right. We're headquartered here in New Orleans and still fighting hard to rebuild the city that we love.
And are you working to try to save families from foreclosure? I mean, it seems as if the Republicans have also this past week alleged, and I'm speaking specifically now of Hugh Hewitt, who is a broadcaster, he's alleged that Acorn is at the heart of the financial crisis. He's talking about the national financial crisis on Wall Street.
Right. Right. Hugh Hewitt and the Consumer Rights League and the predatory lenders out there, and frankly, John McCain now has just released an ad saying the same thing, and it's a complete fallacy that has no grounding in any rational understanding of economics. What they're arguing is that the Community Reinvestment Act and proponents of the Community Reinvestment Act, like Acorn, somehow forced all these banks to make loans that they shouldn't have been making to low-income borrowers, minorities, and, to quote Fox News, other shady folks. So this argument is completely without merit. In fact, if you look at the loans that were made over the last 5 years of the predatory lending boom, 3 out of 4 subprime loans were made by non-CRA-governed institutions. That is, these major lending houses that are not traditional depository banks, that are not governed by the Community Reinvestment Act, that Acorn has no influence over whatsoever. And in fact, we have been out in the streets fighting against predatory lending for a decade, for a decade. In fact, a lot of people credit Acorn with coining the phrase predatory lending because we saw it in our communities. It was Household Beneficial and Ameriquest peddling these products that they knew people could not pay back, loaded with prepayment penalties. They had yield spread premiums where brokers were getting kickbacks from the lenders in order to rip people off. And these types of predatory loans are the exact reason why we're in this crisis. And Acorn fought against predatory lending tooth and nail. We sued predatory lenders. We picketed outside their offices. We tried to pass state legislation to curb their activities. And the GOP and John McCain consistently sat on the sidelines and said, let the free market work. Do not regulate these bad actors. And the free market shall prevail. And that's exactly what brought us to the point we're in today, a global credit crisis, a foreclosure crisis of epidemic proportions not seen since the Great Depression. And it's precisely because of the deregulatory philosophy of John McCain and his allies in the GOP that we find ourselves in the precarious economic position we do today. And that's why John McCain is losing in every public poll on who's better equipped to handle the economy. And so he's flailing and trying to concoct a new economic reality in which poor people and Acorn are to blame for the crisis. It simply is out of step with reality, out of step with the facts, and it's a desperate October attempt to revive a failing campaign.
Austin King, how can listeners get a hold of ACORN, locate your office on the internet?
I definitely encourage visitors to come to acorn.org. That's our website. We have offices in about 100 cities across the country. We would certainly welcome you in, especially if you're someone who's struggling with your mortgage. ACORN is there to help. We can negotiate with your mortgage servicer to try to get you a lowered interest rate, a fixed interest rate, some sort of modification to help you save your home and avoid foreclosure. And if you're interested in joining us, our voter registration efforts, our efforts to raise the minimum wage and get paid sick days for workers and get health care for all, we certainly encourage you to visit our website, www.acorn.org, sign up for our list, and join us in the cause.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
We also reached Nicholas Graber Grace. He runs the Hartford and Bridgeport, Connecticut offices of ACORN, where they are still investigating the cards they themselves brought to the attention of election officials in Connecticut. 7 cards evidently were flagged. He was not sure of the exact number, but he said they are still checking to find out if the card that Republican Registrar Joe Borges of Bridgeport has complained about to election officials in an official complaint is in fact one of the cards ACORN flagged.
Well, our voter registration drive lasted from the end of January, early February, through the end of July when we concluded. Over the course of the drive, we assisted about 20,000 people in Connecticut, slightly more than that, in filling out voter registration cards. There are some cards that the Bridgeport Registrar of Voters has questioned, 7 cards in particular, which were gathered in February, March, April, and May. Every time that we turn in voter registration cards, which happens on a weekly basis, the registrars, we ask them if there are any particular concerns that they might have. On a number of occasions, we ask them to sit down with us and go through any problematic cards or any concerns that they had during the course of the drive. At every instance, they declined to sit down and meet with us and go through those cards. And yet now here we are, 4 weeks before the election, and all of a sudden they've decided to make a big issue out of it. You know, we certainly take this very seriously. We work very hard to get as many eligible voters onto the rolls as possible, which is why we want to work very closely with elections officials to make sure that we are doing everything according to the protocols and that they understand our own internal quality control procedures. Unfortunately, in this case, the Bridgeport Registrar was apparently uninterested in sitting down with us to discuss these concerns, but now has made these allegations a few weeks out before the election.
You're saying that you asked the Bridgeport Registrar, who has complained about this card where a 7-year-old was listed, you're saying you asked him on many occasions, several occasions, to sit down with you?
Yes, there were several occasions when we were turning in cards. They indicated to us that they had some concerns about the quality of some of the cards we had turned in, and I invited them then to sit down with us and go through those cards and share with us what their concerns were, and they declined that invitation and request.
There are some 400,000 different organizations that have been described as ACORN-affiliated. Bruce Dorpalin is with ACORN Housing Corporation. They're a 501c3 nonprofit, and he himself counsels homeowners and prospective homeowners. I asked him to try to interpret the remarks of Hugh Hewitt on Larry King Live and what is meant by all the discussion that's been going on that has to do with accusing ACORN of being responsible for the financial crisis.
Well, this is a surprise. ACORN created ACORN Housing Corporation, what I work for, to really implement community reinvestment programs and doing housing rehabilitation and construction for low and moderate income people. So since the mid-80s all the way through now, we've been working on helping people become homeowners and getting them great mortgages, 30-year fixed-rate mortgages that are completely affordable, that are not adjustable, that don't have high fees, that don't have prepayment penalties, that don't have balloons and all this weird subprime stuff. And those people and those loans performed really well. Over 100,000 mortgages have been created through this program over the past 20 years. On top of that, we do construction, so we've built housing developments that are very low mortgage payments and really well-built buildings. We have done lots of work rehabilitating houses. In the last 10 years, we've been working a lot to stop predatory lending the kind of loans that went bad. We've been completely against them. Acorn Housing has counseled people to look for 30-year fixed-rate loans rather than these adjustable-rate mortgages with surprise increases and hidden fees. Acorn itself has lobbied to get legislation in state legislatures and city governments around the country to prevent this kind of stuff that created the subprime meltdown. And for the past 3 years, we've been working heavily in preserving housing by stopping foreclosures and having people have their loans restructured, which means really providing them with financial counseling, getting them a fixed lower rate that they can afford based on their income. And a lot of times, the bulk of the business we're doing are these subprime loans that were the opposite of what you would get if you came through our program, and also what Acorn was trying to get as what would it be affected by the predatory lending legislation. You know, if we had done that, many more people would be keeping their houses today if we had gotten the right laws in place.
So you were trying to implement stronger regulations to prevent the subprime crisis, really?
Oh, definitely, yes. Now, Acorn was on the lead of this. Acorn Housing was working with individual families to create this. We did a lot of work with lenders to try to make sure that they would be giving the best loans to people. And if you have the wonderful thing about the American housing system in the old days was if you had a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, your house payment, or at least the mortgage portion of your house payment, was fixed for the 30-year life of the loan. So your income might go up, but your mortgage payment stayed the same, and that really created wealth. That really created wealth for low and moderate income people. The challenge is that we really addressed in the mid-'80s going through the 90s was, how do you make that opportunity available in minority communities, African-American and Latino communities, who are completely underserved? And that turned out to be these underwriting issues where mortgages were underwritten really for suburban white-collar homeowners who were largely the white population in this country. And we learned a lot and developed a lot around how you evaluate credit and income to find people who can manage their expenses and manage their money and could manage home ownership. And these loans have all performed really well. I mean, this has not been the subprime crisis, and by and large, all our people are still in their houses. The problem was that mortgage brokers were selling these toxic loans, these subprime predatory loans, and the reason they sold them to the same people we were working with, I mean, they're the same neighborhoods at least, was that they got paid better to do that loan than they would have to do a regular 30-year fixed-rate loan.
Once again, to clarify, Bruce Dorplin is with Acorn Housing Corporation. He counsels homeowners and prospective homeowners and does not register voters. Let's listen finally to the final Q&A, the press conference call the McCain campaign held October 10th. And the questions were being answered again by Rick Davis, who is campaign manager, actually for McCain Palin. This is Bob Drogan of the Los Angeles Times.
I'm trying to understand your argument on Acorn. You're saying that these various battleground states, you're saying you're losing in there because of this fraud, and you're saying, if I understood you correctly, that the election is being stolen. So if you lose on November 4th, your argument is going to be the election was stolen? Is that what you're saying here?
No. I hope you got a transcript on this because you can go back and read it. And what I'm saying about these battleground states is in each and every one of them, we have violations by Acorn relating to them. I mean, in Connecticut, a 7-year-old child was registered to vote by Acorn. In Wisconsin, 1,400 fraudulent registrations were turned into by Acorn. In Milwaukee, 49 cases of employees of Acorn submitted false voter registrations. In Indiana, Acorn turned in nearly 2,000 registration forms, 1,100 of which were no good, 50%. Acorn in Indiana seemed to have pulled names and addresses from a phone book and then forged signatures. I mean, I could go on with every one of these states. That's the point I'm making. What I don't want to see happen is the election in those battleground states get stolen by Acorn, and I certainly would hope that Obama would join us in saying, Acorn, stay out of those states.
Finally, Mike Scheer of The Washington Post had this question for Rick Davis of the McCain campaign.
Are you specifically saying that you think Barack Obama is complicit in efforts by Acorn to steal the elections in these battleground states? And second, will Senator McCain bring this issue specifically up directly to Barack Obama in the debate on Wednesday?
Well, first of all, let me be clear. Barack Obama has given $832,000 within the last year to an organization that's a front group for Acorn. We think that ought to deserve some explanation, especially considering the case that we've laid out about Acorn's violations of election law. Why is he doing business with somebody who has such a bad track record in election law? And what did they do with $832,000 from the Obama campaign? Maybe there's a simple explanation for that, but for a guy who says he's had no relationship with Acorn, it does betray a bit of questioning as to what the relationship is and what is it now. Is there any activities going on with the Obama campaign in any one of these states with Acorn? Obviously, there's a history there. So the question, I think, is legitimately asked, are you currently doing anything either on a volunteer basis or on a paid basis with Acorn? So I think that the point I think we're making is that Acorn is an organization that has violated the law on a repeated basis in places that the election could be close and decided upon by only a few hundred votes. And so the question that we raise, and that Barack Obama has got a spotty record of telling the truth about his relationship with Acorn. So the question is, what judgment has Barack Obama imposed and used in his dealings with Acorn, and what is the current relationship that exists now with his organization, and what will it be going into Election Day? So I think, you know, for us, I mean, obviously we can't get on the phone with y'all and claim foul that Acorn is an organization that has a dubious past, unless we lay out what that dubious past is. And frankly, we also have a dubious current. And so what is amazing to us is that in the middle of an election year, where there's been so much scrutiny given to the candidates and their relationships with people and organizations, here's one that's directly involved in violating the law in an election year that Barack Obama has his name on the ballot, and he gave $132,000 to this organization. $832,000. Sorry. So I think that deserves some explanation. And so I guess, really, I'm asking more questions than I can give answers, because I think they're legitimate questions. And I hope that there's an opportunity for the press to ask the questions of Barack Obama before John McCain has to use time in a debate to do it. And I think that would probably be the obligation of the media.
McCain-Palin campaign manager Rick Davis. As of 11 p.m. Friday, October 10th, The New York Times and New York Post had stories about election fraud by Acorn. Those stories immediately conveyed to Republican support network sites and the RNC's websites. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program is produced at the studios of WHUS at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions. Talk Nation Radio's theme music is written and composed by Fritz Heed, FritzHeed.com. And we also heard a little bit of Not My America by Op Critical.